This episode is brought to you by Mr. Speedy. Get 50 pesos off when you place your first delivery with Mr. Speedy when you use the code GEEKYMRSPEEDY. That's GEEKYMRSPEEDY. You can book a delivery via their website, MrSpeedy.ph, or download the Mr. Speedy app from the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Huawei Mobile Gallery. Available for Metro Manila, nearby provinces, and Cebu. That's GEEKYMRSPEEDY to get 50 pesos off your first delivery on Mr. Speedy.
Woo. Okay, welcome to episode 72 of the Geeky Ones. And I'm Jude. Next to me is Steven via iPad. So, yeah.
Phone and
episode 72 is all about our thoughts on the Shang-Chi trailer, a spoiler-free review of Mortal Kombat, the recently released Mortal Kombat, trash bags in the WWE, we'll elaborate on that later, and the formation and eventual dissolution of the European Super League. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack, and, you know, we decided that since there's, like, big geeky news involved for the week, we just thought that, hey, let's just bunch it up all in one episode like we usually do before and run with it. So I guess we can get started with the very, very first topic on hand, and it's Shang-Chi. Now, I think I was really surprised when they showed Shang-Chi. Hey, guys, we're showing a new trailer for a Marvel movie. Like, what? We're
not
ready. I'm not even ready. I don't even, you guys were making WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier on the side, and we were enjoying it. But, you know, all of a sudden, they throw us a curveball of showing Shang-Chi out of nowhere, and it was really interesting. You know, because we haven't heard too much from it. Like, I was thinking that it was still very early in its development cycle, so to speak. It's like it was supposed to be like a few more years back, maybe a year or two, a year more. But eventually, they gave us a fresh new trailer, and it was really good. And as our team of the two movies we'll talk about, it's a nice win for Asians and Asian Americans in Hollywood, because it's the MCU's first Asian superhero,
and besides Wong,
besides Wong, of course,
kawawa ni Wong.
Well, first Asian superhero to have a lead role in an MCU film, and it's really interesting. And, you know, we're so eagerly waiting for the next phase of MCU, and, you know, Black Widow is like
she's Asian. While
well, there, it's like Shang-Chi and Black Widow are gonna be released real soon. I like the trailer, and although I'm not familiar with the story of Shang-Chi, I just like how they stuck to Asian roots in that show, and just made sure that, you know, it's as depicted as it was in the comics. And along with that, I think they had the Mandarin. That was awesome.
Okay. So I'm gonna do some like quick explainer on this. Shang-Chi is actually a stereotypical kung fu master in the 60s. That was the original character. However, Marvel realized they can't do that because it's racist. What they decided to do was take another villain from a different property, in this case, Iron Man. The Mandarin was actually a villain from Iron Man. So if you're familiar with, remember Iron Man 3, where they had this guy named Trevor Slattery, played by Ben Kingsley, who pretended to be the Mandarin, but it turns out he wasn't the real Mandarin. And the only hint they ever gave was the tattoo.
Yeah.
It was an Indian guy pretending to be a Chinese guy. You know, it's weird. Tapos ngayon, the Mandarin is now going to be you know, the villain of this movie. He's gonna be Shang-Chi's dad. So it was given in the plot. I don't know if it's gonna be a Darth Vader situation, but I think it's a given in the trailer na the Mandarin is Shang-Chi's dad. And I'm guessing, you know, Shang-Chi will have to decide if he's gonna fight for good or become the next Mandarin. I find it ironic because Tony Leung, the actor of the Mandarin, is Cantonese. And that's the weirdest part for me. But I'm kind of excited. Like, I showed the trailer to my dad earlier in the week, and he said he's more excited, he's more interested in Shang-Chi than the Mortal Kombat trailer. But that's another issue. I think it's more of a generational thing because his generation's not, you know, the type of, like, you know, generation to, like, gory, super gory, like, animation stuff and, like, video games, you know? Like, video games pa lang, it's so hard to convince him. That's something else.
Okay.
Anyway, end of rant. Shang-Chi is the Mandarin's son, and now this trailer is gonna show na, will he decide to stay as the next Mandarin, or will he become his own superhero in the MCU? That's pretty much it.
So yeah, well, yeah, I like the, I just really hope that, you know, it's a very martial arts centered MCU film too, like, yep. Lots of fight scenes. I mean, it's Shang-Chi, you know, it's gonna be Chinese martial arts, East Asian martial arts all over. It's gonna be
definitely.
And yeah, from our comments, yeah, Tim Montalo said, Shang-Chi will not be possible without the inspiration of Bruce Lee. One Bruce Lee.
Very true.
Bruce Lee,
even looks like him in the comics.
I remember the time when, you know, when Bruce Lee passed away. Lot of movies, like, tried to emulate the Bruce Lee formula. And, like, they had these fake Bruce Lee or knockoff Bruce Lee actors, like Bruce Lau, Bruce Lee, Bruce Long, like, was there.
Yeah, so weird.
Oh, Martin said, will he be the Mandarin or the Tangerine?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Do you think, I bet he's gonna be the Tangerine.
What I want to see with Tony Leung's character is I want to see that I want to see the Mandarin as being, you know, being as cunning or being as intimidating as he is, you know, as the Mandarin is. Be an actual MCU villain that we like.
Yeah, not the Ben Kingsley version.
I hope he doesn't die. You know, MCU villains have a tendency to just die. So I want to see, like, I want to see the Mandarin, you know, still screw up the MCU for the next phase, you know.
Agreed.
If the Mandarin's gonna try and be the legit Mandarin's gonna try and screw up Stark Industries, please do so, because
it's an perfect old match, right?
It's an old rehashed rivalry that we need to see. I wish we could see in MCU form. In its full glory. That deer in prison will be good. And yeah. They did not release who is playing Death Dealer in Shang-Chi.
We'll see. I think we're going to have to wait. Maybe it's a surprise. Who knows? Unless the casting was already announced and we haven't checked. Because I'll be honest, I haven't checked much with regards to exactly what's going on with Shang-Chi. Because, I don't know, but it's just there for me. Like, it's cool. Yeah. But, like, I'm kind of more excited for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the mythos of Shang-Chi, the story, because I haven't really followed this. And I think it's a very, very, like, even for mainstream MCU, like Marvel Comics fans, it's a deep dive. It's, you could say underrated, you can say, Shang-Chi is not as mentioned as much, especially in even some major Marvel story arcs. That's why having this movie is important for representing that side.
And also using more comics that they haven't used in a while. That's all.
Because
they're going to do that.
Yeah, because if they're, you know, you're gonna run dry if you keep on using mainstream Marvel characters, mainstream comic characters in that sense. So I think giving more screen time to the smaller ones, you know, I don't know, West Coast Avengers, the crappy, you know, those weird Avengers offshoots. I don't care how bad some of them are, or you know, make an actual Defenders, like, you know, the Defenders that are a mess instead of the Marvel Knights version, the ones that were, you know, there's a Defender for a day. But yeah, this is a nice step for, I like this step for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Shang-Chi is a very different property from everything else. And yeah, nice start for for the next phase, and I'm really excited for it. Next one. That time. No, not yet. We're gonna save that for our main event. That's our main event.
All right. You know?
I don't want we're gonna enjoy that one a lot, because
savor the moment from Mortal Kombat.
Okay, now let's go with this one. The WWE trash bag issues. Okay. Now, a few days ago, I think last week our episode was Releasomania, and we talked about the 10 wrestlers who have been released from the WWE at that time. And, you know, apart from being released, the usual things you have when you get released is, first you have like a you have a 90-day no-compete clause.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, there's usual employee benefits like severance pay, I guess, and some various terms arranged. I'm not sure if WWE has that. I wonder how WWE contracts work, but the usual contract release process should have been smooth. Last year, they released so many wrestlers, if you remember, Steven. It's almost like 20 they released last year.
I remember Black Wednesday.
Black Wednesday was crazy. But yeah, okay. After that, but you know, being released from a company, you're usually gonna end in, you know, if you're ending in good terms, nothing should happen, nothing bad should happen. But
yeah,
for this case, something bad really happened, and it involved a woman who would probably be, you know, in the next few years, be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
And that is Mickie James. Mickie James was one of the recently released wrestlers, and you know, hats off to her WWE career, because you know, whether or not she's in the company, she's gonna be a Hall of Famer for them.
Definitely.
And you know, she's one of the most talented and decorated women in wrestling, and you know, really awesome. But apparently WWE didn't treat her that way. Instead, you know, her items, you know, her personal items that were left in WWE were given to her via a trash bag with her first name on a post-it on that same trash bag. And that was like, that's basically what we call a dick move, I guess. It was a really big douchebag move, because it's not only that you're treating talent this way, it's all, you're treating one of the most decorated wrestlers of your company this way as well. It's an injustice. And after that, other women wrestlers tweeted. Gail Kim tweeted that when she was released, her items were in trash bags. Jillian Hall, her items were in trash bags too. And, you know, Gail Kim is a Hall of Famer, Impact Wrestling Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
And
probably one of the best women's wrestlers in
the mid-2000s,
right? One of the best.
Yeah. And
Maria.
It also doesn't matter who would be involved in this. You don't deserve to have your items thrown in trash bags.
Exactly.
After being released, especially if you're ending in good terms, because I think a lot of these wrestlers are released on good terms. They might be disappointed with how their career panned out in the WWE, but at least there's no controversy involved, as far as I know, for all the 10 released.
I hope so. I hope not.
I hope so. But no but still, you know, after this issue, you know, what happened is the WWE responded. Triple H, Stephanie tweeted. I think even John Laurinaitis tweeted about this. And yeah, and that, you know, they responded to this action by firing the guy involved, which was apparently Mark Carano, which is head of talent relations. And yeah, for me, dude, that's Johnny problematic, because if you're a guy who handles WWE talent coming in or in the company or going out of the company, you're not supposed to treat your talent like that. That's basically being a complete douchebag or big asshole if you treat your talent that way, because your talent relations, you're supposed to manage. You're supposed to manage the wrestlers, you know, you're the one who's supposed to be treating them right in the first place. But if they're not, that's really a bad environment to be in. And I would understand why a lot of people want to leave. I would understand.
It's just crazy, you know? But how did, like, Maria Canellis.
Maria.
Is it weird that it was only the women who were speaking up? I'm not sure if any guy wrestlers.
Yeah, it's troubling to see the trash bag issue in of itself. But you know, if it's targeted to the women's division.
Yeah, but
that's really low. That's really bad, because there's someone out there who's just being misogynistic to the roster, and that's really bad for the culture inside the WWE locker room in general. Exactly. That's bad, even for the employees in WWE itself. Mm. There's also the case of Darren Young being harassed by Mark Carano after being released. Thank you, Martin, for that one. I saw that comment too. I saw his tweet about it. Like, Mark Carano was like bugging him after he was released from the WWE. So, like, I think it was because he lost his job in the WWE. I don't know. It was so weird. But in general, he's out. But anyway, Mark Carano is out of the company. But it makes me think that I think this is not just one guy doing it. Yeah. I think it's gonna be. It has to be a shakeup of their employee structure, I guess. They need to. Yeah. I think they need. They could use younger, fresher staff. Hopefully. Not younger. Maybe someone from a different industry. I don't know. They can get anyone from any sport, any North American sport.
Didn't they just hire like another round of people from the NFL?
Yeah, well, NFL is in that weird state, and you know, they pretty much forced their hand in having huge attendances like the MLB. So yeah, that's crazy shit. If they're talent relations is something very complicated, and they need to manage this well. And this trash bag issue, if we hear this again, this is gonna be big, troubling, because they have not changed. That would mean they should just change up everything after if it happens again. So yeah, that's my thought on it. And Steven, do you have anything to add?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, we both agree that this isn't just on Mark Carano. There probably is more people inside.
Yeah, there's probably. I think the WWE needs a good amount of spring cleaning. I don't know. Maybe not just spring. Maybe autumn and winter cleaning. Just a lot of cleaning for that one. For that
general cleaning, like the New Japan ring.
Yeah, and I understand, and I really want to see the people they've signed succeed. Like, I genuinely want that. And I really hope they brush up everything for down to their like creative and their from talent relations, because if your talent isn't being treated well already, then that's gonna be a bad environment for wrestlers to be in. It's not gonna be, you know, it can hurt your growth as a performer in the ring, and you know, it's not gonna end well. So
yeah,
I really hope they do something about it, something bigger soon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now let's go back. Right. Let's go to another topic, which is another topic of anger, you know, and it's the European Soccer League. Now, let's go for the very short description of the European Soccer League. So, the Soccer League. Wow, I'm That's American as hell. Okay, the European Super League is a league that was formed by 12 founding members. And of the 12, 6 are from the Premier League, 3 are from La Liga, and 3 are from the Serie A in Italy. So, let's see. Those six Premier League teams are what you see on the background of my on my camera right now. But for the audio listeners, it's Manchester United, it's Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, and Manchester City.
So,
and then for La Liga, it's the El Clasico duo of Barcelona and Real Madrid, plus Atletico Madrid, which kind of surprised me. I hated that one. And for Serie A, it's Inter Milan, AC Milan, and Juventus, which are their three most decorated clubs. I think if you combine all these clubs together, they have at least 100 trophies. They have more than 24 European trophies. These 12 teams are the most accomplished in Europe, save for Bayern Munich, who didn't sign, or save for Ajax, who didn't sign as well, sign on to this league.
Okay.
And yeah, this was bad. Like, the backlash to this was instant. People hated this idea. It was basically a product. It looked like a product of greed. It still looks like a product of sheer greed from the owners of the club, who
owners of the Red Sox.
Yeah, owners of the club. Because remember, these clubs were formed by the everyman, by workers, by the citizens of their. By the citizens, like cities. They were made. Yeah, they were made by the everyman, and the fact that these their owners pretty much don't care about this and just care about making billions out of their team is just plain wrong. It's just greedy. It's just really awful. I think my favorite reaction from that was from former Manchester United player Gary Neville, who's an analyst. It was just he was just so mad. Like, he was livid because, yeah, it was a product of greed. It was greedy as hell because you're not only depriving the leagues, the rest, the Premier League, La Liga and Serie A, of the best competition. You're not only depriving European football of the best competition, Ren, of the best teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Tottenham is there, but, you know, Tottenham is probably the weakest out of this 12. Like, they haven't won a trophy in, like, 13 years now. So, like,
damn.
I don't know why they joined, just because, I think it's just because they're profitable as heck. But, yeah, it still doesn't matter because it's really greedy and it feels like they only cared about money. And the most vocal about the European Super League was Florentino Perez, the president of Real Madrid, who was just spouting numerous big statements that people ages 16 to 24 are no longer interested in football, which is stupid. Like, young guys are not interested in football? No, don't give me that. Don't give me that crap. Because
tell that to Mbappe.
Yeah.
Mbappe, by the way?
He's now like 21, 22. He still has so many years. Dude. I think he's 21. Like, he was like, I think he's going to be, he's probably 22. Next year is 23. So, he still has a lot. He still has a few more World Cups to enjoy.
Yep.
And, you know, the guy still needs a Champions League. I mean, his career is basically solved, but yeah. But anyway, also worth noting that PSG, Kylian Mbappe's team, also didn't sign, despite being a rich-as-hell club.
Like the Yankees of Paris, right? Essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they're the Arab oil money club. They're the big Middle East money club from if Man City is the Middle East money club of the Premier League, it's PSG is the one for France, for Ligue 1. But yeah, this one is a really big issue because it's detrimental to football. And although they gain more money to build more facilities and, you know, create a more competitive environment, the fact that you're gatekeeping these teams with no relegation, no consequence, just profit, profit, profit. It's just too greedy. And eventually, like a few days later, in the week that it was announced, like 9 teams just ditched it. All 6 Premier League teams expressed their regret in joining. For Manchester United, their owner, Joe Glazer, left. And for Tottenham, Jose Mourinho left as their manager. And a lot of the players expressed their concerns. And I think all the 6 Premier League team captains who were involved in the league, they were in a meeting. Yeah, they had a meeting. So I don't think they'll divulge anything out of that meeting, but I think it's just a matter of like talking it out, because they really need to do so. And for Serie A, AC Milan and Inter Milan also left. And then for La Liga, it was Atletico Madrid. So all that's left was Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Juventus, which are like well, Real Madrid is kind of like the club that started this league in the first place. So they're the last ones that are going to have a say. But yeah, it's a really weird scenario. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy. I'm also happy that Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund didn't join this. Like, No, we're saying no to this. We're a rich club. We're one of the biggest clubs in two of the biggest clubs in Europe as well. But we're not joining this league.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Steven, any thoughts on that?
Not really, but not really. I mean, it's kind of like European football trying to apply an NBA, NFL type system where you're like combining leagues. Well, kind of like MLB, where they combine the American League and the National League. But don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Speaking of saving on money, we do have our friends at Mr. Speedy to thank for this podcast. Yeah. We have how many days left? 6 days left. If you're watching us live, we do have a special code. Get 50 pesos off your first Mr. Speedy delivery using the code GeekyMrSpeedy. You can see it on your screen. You will find it on the description here on the podcast. Don't forget, this code does expire on April 30. So download the Mr. Speedy app on iOS, Android, Huawei Mobile App Gallery, if anyone uses that. Please don't forget to use our code if you haven't done any Mr. Speedy deliveries yet. That's pretty much it. So thank you to our friends at Mr. Speedy. Don't forget, this code expires on April 30 on payday. So take advantage of any deliveries on payday with your first Mr. Speedy delivery. Get 50 pesos off.
All right. Yeah, better catch up on those. One last thing about the European Super League. After the teams left, the Champions League introduced a new format that would add like more games, basically like 100 more games in total for all teams involved. And now the Champions League is now experiencing backlash as well.
What? I thought the point of the Super League was that it was going to be something that would counter the Champions League, diba?
Yeah, but the thing is, the Champions League is asking teams to play more, which is kind of physically demanding for the players.
I mean, you already the schedule of a football thing is like you have your Premier League season, you have your Champions League season, and stuff like that. Tama ba?
Yeah, okay. It's like weekends are for the league football.
Yeah.
So it's usually Friday to Sunday on the regular. Although there are some weekday matchups every now and then for scheduling purposes. But midweek is usually like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, Thursday are reserved for the European competitions or cup competitions. Yeah, but with this new Champions League format where there are 36 from 32 teams, they expanded to 4 and there's now 100 more games. So it's going to be difficult because you're going to spread, even the biggest clubs are going to spread their rosters thin on this one.
Yeah.
Like no matter how many, like I know a lot of the best teams in Europe are very deep. Like, a lot of them have very strong and they have the purchasing power to buy a lot of guys. But yeah, this is going to be difficult. And now the backlash is on UEFA, who actually, actually, when the European Super League was announced, they said that whoever's going to join the Super League will have its players banned from playing in
the World Cup, which
was, for me, like the best counter statement they could do just to shut this league down, just to stop it. But now, yeah, the European football is in a weird crossroads because they're, you know, I don't know. It's just in this weird state that it's really difficult. Now, with that
Let's move on to our last two.
I think this is our very last one.
Let's just do two more codes. Sorry, we have more codes to talk about. We have our code at Podmetrics. Find out more about your podcast statistics with our code GeekyJuans. That's all caps. GeekyJuans, all caps.
No space.
You could help us get a little bit of a commission from each registration. So use our code GeekyJuans to find out more accurate podcast statistics. Finally, Shopee's 5.5 sale is happening very soon. Maybe if you have some cash lying around, you know, after payday, you could use it on Shopee's 5.5 sale because I heard there's a big surprise coming. Anyway, use our link, tinyurl.com/ShopeeTGJ. And get, you know, vouchers, cash back, discount, and whatnot. Anyway, that's about it for our friends at Podmetrics and Shopee. So let's move on to the main event.
Okay,
a movie that just came out yesterday, but we will not tell you how we acquired it.
Well, it was there on HBO Max, released.
Yes, HBO Max.
So. Mortal Kombat is a reboot, is a 2021 reboot of the 90s Mortal Kombat films. You know, those films were kind of meh, the original ones, but, you know, people, there are people who love them. There are people who really love them.
Can I just share something? The first movie was good because it was so campy. There was like an Adam West, like, camp to it. Two was shit because Johnny Cage died and like you replaced the actor of Sonya mid movie. It's like, what the fuck? Anyway, end of rant.
Okay, so now, but eventually, despite that, Mortal Kombat 2021 is, you know, an attempt to just refresh this entire film franchise. And remember, we're talking about a video game movie, a movie about a video game. So, you know, we always had our thoughts. We always have reservations because most of the time, movies are really bad. Movies based on video games are bad. Look at the Resident Evil movies. Look at the recent Monster Hunter movie.
That already came out?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, never mind.
I think it did, yeah. People just forgot about it. So, what else? But yeah. But eventually, but there are also great cases like remember Detective Pikachu and Sonic?
Yes.
They're released a year apart from each other, and they were like the shining examples of how to do a good movie based on a video game.
Yep.
And now, with this spoiler-free review, does Mortal Kombat live up to is Mortal Kombat a good movie based on a video game, or is it part of the bad ones? Now, I think I'll start by saying that it's one of the good ones, actually.
Yep.
It's one of the good ones, and I'll delve into it a bit deeper in a few. But I'll just say that it's an enjoyable movie. I really like you know, there are some parts it felt really faithful to the source material by being violent and bloody.
Yes. Very violent.
Do not let your kids
watch this version of the movie.
Yeah, this is a pretty extreme one. Yeah. It's pretty much whatever you saw in like the past two Mortal Kombat games.
They were able to do so.
And yeah, that's all I can say for now. But Steven, your first thoughts, initial thoughts on this one.
Do not let your kids watch this movie because it's so violent but so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm not the biggest fan of Mortal Kombat. I'm not the biggest fan of, I'm not the most aware person of the lore. But when they cast Hiroyuki Sanada as Scorpion / Hanzo Hasashi, all I can say is you have to watch this movie just because of what happens at the end. So in the trailer, you do see some hints of, you know.
No, I don't think we, yeah, but.
Yeah, of those two characters.
I don't think you should go to the ending already. Two very iconic characters
that are at the center of the entire Mortal Kombat story.
Yeah, but remember, spoiler-free, Steven.
Okay. Okay.
No spoilers on that.
Because without those two characters, because, okay, sige, hint. In the first movie, with Robin Shaw and, you know, what's her name? Anyway, the actor of Sonya Blade and all, and it's just, these characters barely interacted with each other in the first live-action Mortal Kombat movie that was kid-friendly. Here, in the R-rated, very violent, very brutal, very violent, I don't know how else to describe it, movie, they have a whole final arc in the story. Please, please, if you can, watch Mortal Kombat. This movie deserves a sequel right now. I don't care what the critics say. If they'll say that the story is like, oh, it's all over the place, it's lacking character development and whatever, give it time. It's setting up a good story. You don't need an MCU. You just need a Mortal Kombat story straight up. Maybe, you know, who knows? Who knows if you really do an MCU? Maybe this is an MCU for people who desire the Mortal Kombat level of gore and violence. Okay, in the end, screw the critics, enjoy the violence and the fun, because we need blood once in a while. That's it.
But yeah, okay.
That's my stand. All right, Jude, go ahead.
But yeah, what I like about the whole movie is that, you know, it had a lot of references to the games, especially certain moves, like, you know, Sub-Zero is basically, Sub-Zero's moves are basically are straight out of the video game itself. He's probably the closest one. Liu Kang's moves,
so epic.
If you watch it, it's so like, epic. Yeah, that's pretty much Mortal Kombat Liu Kang. I think everyone was well represented, like every character there. Sonya Blade looked like Sonya Blade.
Yes.
Jax's actor is the casting of Mortal Kombat is really good. Jax looked like Jax. I mean, mm-hmm. Raiden and Kung Lao also, like, it's just there. Wait, let me refresh the comments.
Anyone in the comments think about the Mortal Kombat movie if they've seen it yet?
Yeah, but yeah, no comments yet, but hey.
Okay.
Derv said earlier, I think Ed Boon might have a say in the MK in the Mortal Kombat movies moving forward, since, you know, Scorpion is. But yeah, it's a really great film. It's a really great it's a good video game movie because there. The reaction I'm seeing is mixed. A lot of it's either people really enjoy it, love it, or mm-hmm. people really don't like it. I think one criticism I have is some certain fight scenes early on are kind of weird, like not much oomph. The fights in the climax are way better. Basically, the Mortal Kombat fights are way better, but I think I find some scenes a bit too weird, like there was this fight scene where it was a bit too dark. And it felt lackluster.
Are we talking about early on in the movie? Or like,
No. Also, one of the fights in the climax were a bit too dark. I mean, the lighting was just too dark and it felt too claustrophobic. Like, you know, you want, like, Mortal Kombat fights are supposed to be in, like, an open arena or in an arena in general.
Are we talking about the the shed.
Yeah, we're talking about that fight. I found that fight a bit too claustrophobic.
I think that was the point to like scare the viewer.
Yeah, but still, I don't think I'm scared of anyone there. But yeah, let's just talk about our favorite characters. Steven, who are your favorite characters on the movie?
Without doing spoilers, so I'm not gonna explain anything. Sub-Zero and Scorpion. That's it. Scorpion and Sub-Zero. I mean, Sub-Zero was like my first favorite character. Without realizing that Scorpion was actually the main character of the entire franchise. I did not know. I always thought it was Liu Kang, but I guess I was wrong. This movie made me realize, damn, dude, Scorpion is a badass, and I want to see more of him, even though I know it's highly unlikely that it's going to be Hiroyuki Sanada again, because Hiroyuki Sanada, it turns out, I did not know, is already 60 years old, and he does not look a day over 40. That's all I can say without mentioning any spoilers. Scorpion, Sub-Zero. I loved the character development of Jax, because even if it was just a really short bit of struggle and all, I don't think you really had that in like the Mortal Kombat sequel, no? In like the original movies. Like, Jax already had like the bionic arms by default. Like there was no struggle or whatever. Sonya. Oh, I'm glad that Sonya was no longer a damsel in distress. I'm not gonna give any spoilers, but she's no longer the girl who was like chained up to a wall in the first original Mortal Kombat movie. That's it.
Yeah, Kano Sonya Blade is basically like, you know, she fights.
She fights, man. Kano, like everyone was just so good.
Like, Kano is probably a favorite of mine because of how annoying he is. And you know, of course, the famous Kano wins line, which was freaking. I wish they didn't put that in the trailer. I really wish they didn't put that in the trailer. I still laughed like when he said Kano wins. It was so stupid. It was probably I can say a really dumb line, but it was so funny when he said it in his in his Australian accent. Like, wow,
you're just wait, you fucking BA. Hey, I want egg rolls, by the way. This movie made me want egg rolls.
Yeah, and also let's see Raiden is I like Raiden's character. Mm-hmm. I like his although I would like to see I hope we see more of Raiden in the next films, you know, maybe.
Yes, dude.
Raiden is someone you can use in a fight in a Mortal Kombat tournament. And now one thing apart from certain missing characters, Mortal Kombat has so many people. It's like they have an overloaded roster of characters.
This movie had more people than the first movie, like the original movie.
Yeah, but you know, remember, Mortal Kombat has like a few more dozen characters to show up. Really great film. Let's give it a nice little rating, Steven, out of 10. So, Steven, what's your rating out of 10?
10 out of 10, hands down. Better than the original movies. That's it, 10 out of 10.
Okay. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Because it's a movie that just really calls back to the franchise that it came from. It's really respectful of the source material. But you know, there are certain scenes that just needed a bit more power. Like there are scenes that make it feel like, oh man, this feels like the video game, but there are also scenes that feel like this is a bit generic, really normal stuff. I just found it that I wish they just went ham on it, like went really just weird. Like, because there's some scenes that are like generic American movie character building, which shouldn't, you know, okay. I wish they just go with the Mortal Kombat shtick and just went weird and ham.
Yeah.
Although right, so one of my favorite climax scenes there was just really fun. We can't say it, but you know,
it's we'll talk about it next week.
Probably it's a quiz. Yeah. I just want to say that one of the climax fights is a culmination of a decade's worth of decades long rivalry, which is just
yeah. I know what you're talking about. Holy shit!
I'll enjoy that.
Was so badass.
Enjoy, and also Cole Young, you know, despite being a very despite being generic as hell, somehow it's a nice
You add that little slice. You add that little slice of character about his history.
Yeah,
add a little slice,
and also noting Nathan Jones is in this movie. Nathan Jones, is General Reiko, and Nathan Mad Jones Max is always veteran, a funny, WWE always veteran. A fun. You know, whenever you need a big guy in an action movie, he's pretty much there. You know, happy, despite not being, despite not having a wrestling career or any semblance of a wrestling career, but he's actually a really great, strong. You know, always somehow finds a role as the big guy. Every now and then, he gets the. I really liked him in when he was Rictus Erectus in Mad Max Fury Road. And also his 5-minute appearance in Troy where he just got stabbed by Brad Pitt. But yeah, really great. I like this movie. It's one of the good video game movies. If you're wondering, it's not in the realm of awful, thankfully. Yeah. And it's produced by James Wan, which is, Fast and the Furious guy. For Saw and Insidious. Yeah, Insidious. This guy knows his gore. And, you know, he was, he also directed Aquaman and Furious 7. So, you know, this guy has chops. And this guy knows.
He's got variety.
Yeah, this guy knows. This guy knows gore. This guy knows action, and you know, really great effort. And can't wait to see more of the Mortal Kombat film universe, in that sense, because we're gonna see a lot more characters. Because you know, there's so many Mortal Kombat characters, and they could just pick any one of them. You know,
there is one very big.
Yeah, there's character. One more character we haven't seen even in the trailer, so that's gonna be really interesting. Although, in terms of other characters that we'd like to see, let's see. Who else? I'd like to see. I hope we get to see Noob Saibot soon, or something like that. But yeah, I hope we get to see more. There are also some characters mentioned as well.
The Easter eggs, man.
There are like a few more characters there. There were some people shown in pictures.
Yeah. Certain story, a certain book,
a certain research photo. There's so many great characters there. And this is a great start to the film franchise. I hope it does well box office, financial wise. Because
streams and box office, please. Come on, let's go. Let's keep watching.
I just hope more people just watch this one because it's a really solid video game film. Okay, now we're pretty much done with our stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Great job.
That's our episode. And now, so before we leave, first off, you can find the Geeky Ones on thegeekyones.com, our main website, our little nice little happy WordPress site where we do reviews and listicles and various stuff.
Yep.
Anything beyond the usual geeky podcast discussion. And you can follow us on social media at The Geeky Ones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. and also on Twitch and YouTube. So that's pretty much the same handle across all of our platforms. And
that's right.
If you're going to listen to our audio version, we are on Anchor, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And there are other podcast platforms we know and we might not know. But yeah,
Hey, we rated number 2 in Argentina. So weird.
Yeah, we're doing well in South America, guys, for some reason.
So weird, man. Thank you.
We should share that. We should share that to the. We should share that to people. So
yes,
you know, because it's just so weird.
So random, man. So random.
Of all the places where we could be charting on, it's on some nice Spanish-speaking South American places. It's nice.
Ginobili's home.
If there's anyone watching from that region, thank you so much. Okay, you can find me on, well, at Jude Thomas Chris on social media, but that's, it's okay. But you can check out my gaming stuff on Dude It's Jude. I'm saving up for a nice little gaming PC, so the goal is to have streams on Facebook, so that one's... Well, but for now, I'm just posting various gaming content there every now and then. And for you, Steven, where can we find you?
I am at Stevie Said Yup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Facebook and YouTube, YouTube, as some people would say. On Facebook and YouTube, I post hockey videos, share my thoughts on the latest Anaheim Ducks season. It's not going well right now. I mean, we only have like 9 games left. And
well, I can tell you, Steven, my Chicago Bulls are doing awful too.
Yeah. And then my Mighty Ducks rants, you can find me on Twitter and, you know, occasional geeky photos on Instagram. So that's about it for me.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, and that's it for our episode. So thank you for those who are watching on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. And yeah. We hope to see you next week because there's way more geeky news this coming weeks, I guess. And I'm itching to see a wrestling. I'm itching to do another wrestling episode because I'm just waiting for New Japan to finish their road shows. How about you, Steven? Anything you're looking forward to?
I'll be honest with Noah. It sucks because Japan has another state of emergency because their COVID numbers are rising. They had to suspend a lot of shows. TJPW will be holding shows without audiences. I have a feeling Noah will do the same. I have a feeling now, I don't know how the status of Wrestling Dontaku now, because there's a chance we might not have an audience. Who knows? Yeah,
but I think, you know, New Japan might follow suit in the no audience.
Yeah,
but I think in general their events have been safe. Although I think to be safer, they have to go with that. Before we leave comments, Kano Heart Rip,
Man, that was the best. God,
I
so
hate
good.
That. I kind of hate that they spoiled it in the trailer, though. at least Raiden's no longer Connor McLeod. Yeah. At least they got the right guy for Raiden. Flawless noob.
Flawless. Dude. Major spoiler yon, but Flawless Victory.
It's the best. Well, it's the best feeling in Mortal Kombat.
Flawless Victory.
We're gonna see. But yeah, in the end, you know, next week we're gonna have a lot more geeky stuff on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And stay tuned for that. And once again, thank you so much for watching and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Want to know more about your podcast numbers? Check out Podmetrics. Podmetrics aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. And when you know your show, you can grow your show. The best part is it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and don't forget to use the referral code GeekyJuans. That's Geeky, JUANS. This episode of The Geeky Juans is presented to you by Ambidexter. Check out ambidexter.media for more information.